Sir, I'm concerned. To raise as a friend.
Are you now? Are you concerned? Well, isn't that just touching? I suppose now I'll just tell you whatever you want to know in an effort to allay your concerns about your friend.
Sir, please.
Novice, military decorum isn't going to save you from an ass-chewing if you continually overstep your bounds. Now, I take my position as administrator of this facility with a large grain of salt. That is to say, I don't act the jailer any more than I absolutely have to. My goal here is to convince you all of the value of raising the flag out there and ensure you have a modicum of control over your abilities by the time you do. Other than that, I try to give you a free hand. But it has to go both ways. If you start trying to ride me about every decision the Army makes, you may jog my memory that I am a fucking jailer, and that might just remind me that I have the authority to have you clapped in fucking restraints if I so choose. Am I being perfectly clear here? Novice.
Crystal clear, sir.
They gathered, heading toward the magical control range. The panel on the pillbox door slid aside as Britton passed.
Pretty, Oscar. They took your lady away. Why do you let them? Why do you let them? Why, Oscar? They're roaches. They're not holding you. You're holding them. You're sparing them.
You talk pretty tough, Scylla. For a girl in a box.
Silly boy. This box is the only thing that keeps them safe.
Britton tromped back into the line of enrollees, just as Salamander was starting to break up the groups into their practice pairs. Therese was gone, and Wavesign milled around uncertainly on his own. The No-No crew was backed against the wall of the Quonset hut, refusing to help as usual. Britton nodded to Downer, but the young girl was already busy with another enrollee, who stood in the mud, kicking up clods of dirt that she animated. Wavesign's misery was palpable. The boy wasn't raising the flag and joining the SOC, which suited Britton fine, but sticking with the No-No crew was simply aggravating the boy's lack of control and, by extension, his misery. Britton couldn't just stand by and watch that happen. He stepped forward.
Come on, Wavesign. Let's work together. I've got the basics down now.
Wavesign looked up, embarrassed and a little frightened. Britton realized, too late, how much of the anger he'd let manifest in his voice.
I'm fine, Wavesign, really. I'm just worried about Therese. Let me help you.
It's fine. I'm good.
You're not fine, and you're not good. And anyone with eyes can see it. You need this training more than anyone. Just because you get control doesn't mean you have to raise the flag.
I said I'm fine.
Then what's this?
Britton reached into the mist cloud surrounding him and shook the droplets off his hand.
That's none of your business. He doesn't want to be a soldier boy. Unlike you, he's showing some fucking balls.
Are you kidding me, Swift? He's a kid who wants to belong to something. Unfortunately, he's chosen your rancid company as opposed to the Army, which would at least help him come to some productive use.
Doing what? Running down and murdering his own people?
No. He's better off with your crew, engaging in civil disobedience for, well, for no reason, really. You're not Gandhi, Chucklehead. You don't have a TV audience. You're not changing anyone's minds but your own. And meanwhile, you're convincing this poor kid to live under a rain cloud when the people who could help him get out from under it are standing 3 feet away.
Fuck you. Bombing your chest my ass. You work for those fuckers and everybody knows it. You could get yourself and everyone out of here tomorrow if you choose, but you won't. You don't want to.
What? You dumb fuck. Even if that were the case, which it's not, that would be my choice. Being free means being free, Swift. It means belonging to myself, not to the SOC or to you. You're not interested in freedom, just replacing one tyranny with another. You're a fucking wannabe despot.
Better that than a killer.
Yeah, Peapod. He's really into nonviolence. Therese isn't here for you to hit. You want to take a shot at me again?
Swift took a step forward, cocking his fist.
Stand down!
The magic surged along the tide of Britton's adrenaline, and angered past caring, he let it come. The gate snapped open between them, facing Swift. The tendrils of magic snaked back to the home plane, seeking something to protect him from the threat of Swift, ignoring the fact that he was backpedaling, using his own magic to leap into the air to fly to safety. Britton rode it for another moment, knowing that he would have to shunt it back in a moment and face Salamander's wrath. Another moment was all it took. The magic found aid and hauled it through the gate, rolling shut as its work was done. Biggest black bear Britton had ever seen, its pre-hibernation coat thick and shaggy, reared to its full height. Britain guessed it weighed over 500 pounds. Britain felt his magic roll back as Salamander suppressed him. But the suppression broke a moment later as the huge animal turned and swatted Salamander across the chest with a massive paw. Swift sword skyward. Two Aeromancer guards hurtled after him, leaping from one of the guard towers.
Down! Fucking down! Right now! Or we will fucking fry you!
Wavesign gritted his teeth and pointed at the animal, his rainstorm lashing forward in a wild spray of ice. The ice shards hammered the bear's flank, whipping its hindquarters around, freezing one leg solid.
Hold your fire! You'll hit somebody!
The bear wheeled on its good leg. Salamander stumbled again, raising his head just as the bear padded toward him, raising a giant paw, claws extended. He pointed, a firebolt leaping from his hand and clipping the side of the animal's head. Britain could see the seared surface of its brain, just visible through the charred fur. But the bear didn't go down. Britain focused and opened a gate. The tide of anger and panic threw him off. Without the dampener controlling the flow, the portal opened a few feet behind the creature. He tried to close the gate, and it vanished momentarily, only to flicker back open closer to the creature. The bear cuffed Salamander again, throwing the pyromancer down in the mud. Salamander rolled over on his side, trying to drag himself out of the way. Britain pushed the magical tide, extending the surge forward, and letting the gate flicker shut and open again. It inched closer, appearing to slide along the ground, stutter-starting toward the creature as its huge limbs came down on Salamander's head. The gate cleaved through the bear, sliding onward as it did, slicing it neatly in half. Britain gave in to the dampener, terrified that the gate would cut Salamander as well, shunting the magic away as quickly as he could. In the distance, he saw Swift returning to the ground, his arms gripped by two sock aeromancers.
Are you okay? I'm sorry, I just...
Britain felt suppression take hold, and his hands were roughly forced behind him and cuffed. Salamander rose to his feet and made his way toward Britain. He was so covered in gore that it was impossible to tell if he was actually injured or not.
Don't say a fucking word.
What should we do with him, sir?
What the fuck do you think you do with him? Throw this piece of shit in the hole until I can look at him without wanting to shoot him in the face!
The inside of the pillbox smelled like sweat, musk, and old paint. Another odor rode just below the others, something high and chemical. The only light filtered in from the cracks around the door panel, illuminating an interior bare of anything except a metal bench with a bedroll resting on it and a stainless steel toilet bolted to one wall.
Well now, I suppose you must have done something particularly naughty to join me here today. I thought I heard a ruckus outside my door.
Britain slid to the floor with his back to the door, crossing his arms in front of him.
Oh, you don't have to sit so far away. I may be a miscreant and ne'er-do-well, but I do so enjoy a man's touch.
Is that what you did with Swift when he was in here?
Oh, I'm sure he wishes. No, Swift is nowhere near as pretty as you.
He's a fucking fool, and so are you.
Am I? And here I was thinking I was the only person in this whole mad place who makes any kind of sense.
You killed 20 people.
Oh, far more than that, actually. It's been a while since I did the full tally. You, my little rumor mill tells me, killed one. You might have killed more if the Sock hadn't taken you down when they did. So really, what's the difference?
There's a big difference. I wasn't in control.
Really? What about now? What about that nastiness out there? Were you in control then? Why'd you do it, Oscar? Why'd you let it go, knowing in your heart of hearts the destruction and havoc it could wreak?
A lot of reasons. Because I was angry. Because I was tired of being pushed around. Because I liked how it felt to just let go for a minute, to be myself.
That's right, Oscar. That's why I did it. Because frankly, I cannot imagine a life lived under someone else's thumb just to keep him from having to be afraid. I cannot imagine having to never truly be myself again.
You're always under someone's thumb, Scylla. That's life. You always have a boss.
You're wrong, Oscar. That's the change magic has wrought in the world. We didn't ask for this power, but it's finally put us beyond the system that we've been yoked to since the dawn of civilization. there are no more bosses, Oscar. Not for us, not anymore. It's a chance for us to live as we like. It's real freedom. The kind of freedom that only power can grant. It doesn't have to be used for evil, but some evil may have to be wrought to take possession of it. Is it unfair that it came to us and not others? Sure. I don't have an answer for that. But that doesn't mean that I need to ignore it just because it makes the likes of Senator Whalen and her precious reawakening committee nervous. This is mine, Oscar. Mine and no others. I want the freedom that it promises me. Oh, Oscar, don't you want to be free?
Of course I do.
Then why not open a gate and walk away? They don't have you suppressed half the time.
Because they put a bomb in my chest, Scylla. They can track my movements and tear out my heart anytime they like. Or didn't your rumor mill tell you that?
Well, of course it did. But are you going to let a little thing like a machine stop you? You are a being of magic, Oscar Britton. You are beyond human technology.
That's a very grand statement with nothing behind it. I can be beyond whatever I like. I'll still be just as dead the moment I walk through that gate.
No, Oscar, you won't. Not if you deactivate it. Not if you take it out.
How the hell do you propose I do that?
Oh, Oscar, don't you know how magic works?
Enlighten me.
It's elemental. It draws on each element as its fuel, permits the sorcerer to manipulate it. Fire for pyromancers, earth for terramancers, the fabric between dimensions for you.
That doesn't help me.
But it does, Oscar. Do you know what element negromancers manipulate?
No.
Decay, Oscar Britton. Witches are queens of rot.
And?
And that means we can decay human flesh or stones. We can rot the bolts out of a tank and make it fall into its component parts. We can collapse buildings into blowing piles of desiccated mortar. We can rot machines, Oscar. We can cause wires to fizzle, metal to break down into ore, explosive chemicals into inert elements. I can break the ATTD, Oscar. I can rot it into sludge that will filter out of your system in a few hours. Get me out from under this suppression for 5 minutes, and I can free us both.
We're not exactly certain how the mountain gods got onto the reservation, sir, but it's apparent there's some kind of affinity. They're clearly cooperating with the insurgency. If the Selfers have a portomancer, we don't have any reporting on it. The intel staff at FOB Frontier is currently working on the possibility that they may be source indige entities who breeze through some kind of thin spot in the interplanar fabric. If that is the case, it's a serious threat, and one we're definitely going to have to spend some resources on researching. Unidentified briefer to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on Closed Circuit TV.
They let him out of the hole just as the sun was beginning to set. Salamander looked resigned, refusing to make eye contact. Two guards dragged him to the gate where they flung him at Fitzy.
Oh, you okay?
How's everyone else?
They're fine. Thanks for your compliance, sir. You'll have no more trouble from this one.
Just get him the fuck out of here.
What the hell is going on? What happened back there?
You were fucking done asking questions, novice. You are also done picking fights with anyone, anytime, ever. I have no idea how long that little stunt you pulled just fucked up things between SAOLCC and the SAS, but I assure you that it won't be over quickly. You are lucky as hell that you're needed. Otherwise, I would have been happy to let you rot in there with that fucking hag. Next time, I may have no choice. Is that perfectly clear?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever stop and think that you represent the Coven here? That what you do reflects how Downer will be treated in there?
No, sir. I didn't.
You're goddamn right you didn't. Now, do you have any other questions for me?
No, sir. No questions, sir.
Good. Now, you were so anxious to practice gating aid in combat, you're gonna get some hard practice at it.
With the sun beginning to set behind the barricade walls, Fitzy took Britton to the MAC practice tent to find a SOC K-9 handler. He instructed Britton to open a gate onto the portcullis loading bay. The dark vastness had been filled with three chain-link pens, each housing five mean-looking German shepherds.
So you first tried portamantic summoning back in Shelburne. Took a recovery team about 6 hours to clean up that particular mess. Now you've successfully screwed up whatever goodwill I had with Major Salamander thanks to your little stunt today. What you did by accident before, I now want you to do on purpose. Let's try bringing these pooches through the gate and into the MAC tent one at a time.
It was surprisingly simple. Britton recalled the sensation of the tendrils of magic snaking through the gate, driven by the sense of dire threat, grasping for something to assist him. He opened a gate inside one of the pens and recalled the feeling, giving the magic free rein to do its work. The shepherd popped through without complaint and crouched in the mud of the tent floor, ready to spring.
Outstanding. Now do it again.
So Britton did it again and again. When the kennels had been emptied and the dogs all stood to their hocks in the mud, Britton gated into portcullis and practiced bringing them back. He thought of the worm, digging into his chest, hauling out the ATTD.
I would trade my gates for whispering if I could.
It seemed a far lesser power, but whispering could save him. Portamancy kept him chained there. Scylla's offer hovered at the edges of his mind, tempting him. The worm plan had too many moving parts. Hers was simple. Get her out from under suppression for just a few minutes, and freedom. That night, Britton sat on the steps to his hooch and looked up at the sky, trying to make sense of the spray of stars that gleamed so much brighter than back in the world he had simply begun thinking of as home. A shape jogged by in the darkness as Britton sat on the steps. He strained his eyes as the shape materialized into Richard's.
Hey, where are you headed?
Heading to the latrine?
Oh, forget it. It's nothing. Go drain the vein.
Well, now I can't. It'll crawl back up because I'll be wondering what you were going to say.
We don't talk much at the OC. I can't sleep, and I wanted to shoot the breeze. I wanted to know if you're happy here. Clumsy. Don't be so damned obvious.
I'm very happy here, Keystone. You should be too.
Damn it. You knew he wouldn't help you. You'll be lucky if he doesn't tell Fitzy.
I know the girl pisses you off, and she can be a little overbearing, but she's young. Cut her some slack. She's right about one thing. You'll come around, eventually. This won't suck like this forever.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel like we've both grown from this conversation. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to break this romantic moment before I wet myself.
Therese didn't come back to the sass. Salamander didn't mention the incident with the bear and gave Britton a wide berth. Swift avoided him as well, catching a sharp look from Salamander whenever he appeared as if he would talk to Britton. Britton continued to work closely with Wavesign, his only link to the memory of Therese. But the boy made little improvement even when Britton could convince him to practice his magic. The glimmer of control Wavesign had exhibited during the bear attack didn't repeat itself, and the young Hydromancer's magic remained as wild and unpredictable as ever. Things progressed with Shadow Coven. Pistol shooting was added to the mix, with the novices firing at targets on the run, employing magic in the process. Targets were mounted on stands in Portcullis's loading bay, and Britton practiced opening gates, plugging away at them and shutting them in 3-second intervals under Fitzy's critical gaze. At last they were moved to a practice yard, where they worked in tandem. Britton opened gates on the penned attack dogs at Portcullis that Richards whispered out from their staging areas, sending them after cloth dummies on wooden posts around the open field. He improved. He fought Fitzy to a standstill more than once. His control over the gates reached the point where he wondered if he needed the dampener anymore. If sock operators had even a fraction of his level of control, then no selfer could hope to stand against them. The daily meditation calmed Britton, left him centered. The regular exercise worked out much of his angst over his capture, the losses of the past month. At times, he even permitted himself to feel the slightest bit self-satisfied, at home in the source, feeling his abilities come to fruition, his relationship with Marty and the rest of the coven deepening. Such times made him angry with himself. And then one day, as magical control practice was winding down, Therese appeared. She wandered through the gate with no guards escorting her. She looked pale, her eyes shadowed, her cheeks streaked with tears. She wore blue hospital scrubs, still smeared with a dull rust that could only be dried blood. Britton ran for her. Therese sank into his grip, resting her head on his chest.
What's wrong? Therese, what did they do to you?
Oh, those bastards. Those fucking bastards.
What? What? Are you hurt?
got me, Oscar. They fucking got me.
What do you mean? How did they get you?
Where do you think I've been these past days? They put me in the cache, Oscar. They've had me healing the wounded there. The victims of the goblin attacks, accidents on the base, the sick. They come in every day.
Why is that bad?
Because now I have to help them, Oscar. It's as sure an anchor as the bomb in your heart. They know me. They know I can't leave those people. They know I have to work for them now.
Britton held her, patting her back, trying desperately to think of something to say. He had no words. Her argument was so persuasive, so plain.
Isn't this what you're beginning to feel? This sense of purpose? Of control? How could you deny that to her?
Therese.
Don't.
She looked at the knot of enrollees, all staring at her in open-mouthed silence. She nodded firmly to Salamander and marched purposefully toward the flagpole. Before Britton realized what she was doing, she hauled it to the top and stood at the position of attention. Salamander jogged over to stand before her and raised his right hand.
Yes. Yes, I swear. And I will. And get me the hell out of here before I change my mind.
Salamander nodded and motioned toward the sign-in building. Therese shot Oscar a final look before heading off in that direction. The next morning, Britton left his hooch to head to the SAS, only to find Fitzy waiting for him in the muddy track outside.
Morning, novice.
Good morning, sir.
How'd you like a day off from the SAS? Your control has made big strides recently, and I was figuring you'd appreciate a break from the daily brainwashing flicks.
I'm fine to go, sir.
Actually, novice, I'm not asking. You stirred up a serious fucking hornet's nest over there, and I figured it would be smart to let it blow over. Also, both you and Prometheus have been making strides in terms of your control, and I'd like to start putting that to the test. That okay by you?
Shadow Coven assembled in the yard to find it spread with the usual cloth dummies, a disabled Humvee at the far end. More dummies sat inside, a dummy gunner slumped in the ball turret behind the rusted machine gun mount.
You've done well in your individual exercises. It's high time you got serious about working as a team. Shadow Coven is the ultimate force multiplier. You will enter the field as four operators and build your own army. Everything on the field is fuel. Every bug, every spark of flame, every enemy you take down.
As Fitzy spoke, goblin corpses were unloaded from a flatbed electric car, soldiers placing them directly behind each of the target dummies.
Rictus, you see a dummy with a bullet hole in it. You may consider it dead, and the corpse behind it is game on.
He distributed pistols and magazines.
These are loaded with .45 caliber incendiary ammunition. It lacks the tungsten carbide penetrator you are accustomed to hearing about in its large caliber cousins, but still contains a zirconium powder. The result is a slightly weaker round, but they're pretty much guaranteed to catch anything they hit on fire. Normally, I wouldn't be too thrilled about a battlefield roaring in flames, but when you've got an elementalist in your ranks, that sort of thing comes in handy. Stage at portcullis, gate in, and work your way left to right across the target range. By the time you reach the Humvee, I expect you to have the force necessary to destroy it. You have 45 seconds from jump. Do not draw your sidearms until you are clear of the gate. You ladies waiting for Christmas? Get moving!
Britton opened the gate on the darkness of Portcullis' loading bay and closed it once the coven was safely through. True Love's glasses reflected what little light filtered through the warehouse from the glowing exit signs. He looked terrified. Britton put out a hand.
Magic behind the magic.
Downer and Richard smiled, placing their hands on his. True Love shrugged and put his on top.
Magic behind the magic.
Is there any way in hell we can do this in 45 seconds?
Absolutely not.
Fitzy is asshole.
Okay, stay on my six and watch my lead. I don't know what Fitzy's got planned for us, but I'm sure it won't be nice. I'll be first through the gate. Put your hands on your weapons and come out shooting.